morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. We are now, 10 days away from the NFL draft? To talk about that, we have a special guest on the line this morning. We have joining us on the phone, Dan Shonka of Our Lads. Mr. Shonka, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, guys, and with less than 11 days to go before the Scout Super Bowl, we can't wait.
Dan is a former NFL scout with the Eagles, Redskins, and Chiefs. Now he's the GM and National Scout for Our Lads NFL Scouting Services, LLC. Mr. Shonka, tell us about your draft guide you put out, about your website, ourlads.com, how our listeners could possibly buy your guide, anything and everything related to Our Lads.
Well, I think the fun thing, Brian and Jamie, that people can go to our website at ourlads, O-U-R-L-A-D-S.com, and they can actually put up their own mock draft, and they have to do 7 rounds of it. If they can, put 1 or 2, but we've got a contest going that if they win the contest, there's no charge to them. They go on and put their own mock draft up there and put comments if they like. It's really simple, but they can win a Jostens ring. And, of course, Jostens has done all the Super Bowl rings over the years, and they can win a ring with – obviously, they're going to be Packer fans, so they can put a green stone in that ring with their favorite Packer player's jersey number on it, and, of course, their name be on it. And I know the Packer fans will be disappointed to know the prototype that Jonathan set is the Minnesota Vikings, but with my name on it. But trust me, I'm all for the Packers, and I hope they do well. And of course, I'm a fan of 32 teams. But anyway, they can also order our draft guide at 1-800-PRO-DRAFT or order online at our website at OurLads, OurLads.com.
Very good. Speaking of mock drafts, the mock draft posted at OurLads.com, the main one. I don't know. You have several contributors. I don't know if this is your draft. You can tell me if it is. But anyway, it has the Packers taking Washington cornerback Desmond Trufant, who I guess I found maybe the pick a little bit surprising in that cornerback is one of the deeper positions on the Packers roster. But, was that a best available player type of pick? Tell me a little bit about Desmond Trufant.
Well, I tell you what, Trufant is a very aggressive corner that can really turn and run. And, of course, in that division that the Packers are in, you can't get enough corners. And, obviously, Casey Hayward played really well last year. But, Sam Shields is a restricted free agent right now, but he's going to be up. Trenton Williams is on the other side, but you just can't get enough corners out there. And that was kind of, like I said, the top corner available at that time. And that's one direction the Packers could go. Obviously, the offensive line is a major situation, as is the running back issue, but we don't think the Packers will take a running back at 26.
Well, you mentioned offensive line. There's a couple guys I want to pick your brain about. We got an article going to be published sometime soon on Railbird Central or Cheesehead TV on Kentucky guard Larry Warford. Tell me about him a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you, he's a very powerful guy. I think that he's more of a man type blocker than, say, a zone blocking guard. Somewhat similar, really, to Chance Wormack. Not quite that caliber, but he's certainly a very good football player and should play, a good kind of league. And I tell you what, he's got a real explosive punch. He shows some good quickness coming off the ball. But really, I think more of a power scheme type blocking front was where he fits. He's kind of a wide body guy, doesn't have great mobility, didn't run real well at the combine, but he does have, you know, surprisingly light feet for a big guy. He's kind of a pear-shaped guy in a way, and, you know, he's got some fundamental things that, like dropping his head and pass protection at times, or he'll lose his base at times, but I'll tell you, he's a pretty good football player that's going to start for somebody, but I think he's got to be put into the right scheme.
Sticking with the offensive line here, you know, being based out of Wisconsin, kind of want to know about these Badger players a little bit. Wisconsin center Travis Frederick, of course, the Packers could possibly use a center in the draft, but tell me a little about him. You know, I think one of the top guys at his position.
Yeah, he is. He's our second rated center. And the thing we like about Travis is that he can be a three-for-one guy. He can play center, or he can play guard. And that's when you're dressing seven guys, I mean, that's what you need. You need to have a versatile type player. And you know, Travis is not a great athlete, but he's a power player, gets real good push in the run game, and he's athletic and smooth enough to, you know, handle the inside stunts. And, you know, they're very well coached at Wisconsin. And through the years, I know they struggled with the offensive line coach at the start of last year, made a change there, but he adjusted well, and he's strong enough to anchor, you know, that power bull rush from the inside. So I think a three-for-one position player at guard and center is very positive, and we think he's going to have a good career and have a good chance of starting early in his career.
A player whose name I see pop up quite a bit, quite often in mock drafts around the internet, no matter where they are, seems to be Notre Dame tight end Tyler Eifert going to the Packers late in the first round. What do you think about Tyler Eifert? Where does he stack up against other tight ends in this year's draft class?
Well, he's our top tight end, and I think when you saw those observations that different people had out there on Tyler, it was probably before the decision by Ted Thompson to keep JerMichael Finley around. We think that Tyler Eifert would have fit in really well. I tell you, he just got better this year blocking. A very smart guy. He finds the spots, the soft spots in zone, and you know, he can beat the linebackers in coverage one on one, and you don't see the Tampa 2 as much, but you'll see it against Minnesota. But he's a guy that can really threaten that cover two coverage, split it down the middle, get behind the middle linebacker, whose main responsibility is to cover that tight end, and he can get down the middle and catch that ball over the top. And But he's really, you know, he catches everything in his hands, adjusts well to the ball, smart guy, good field awareness. Everything's very positive. And like I said, he got better this year at blocking. And so I don't. A lot of times these tight ends, if they're high cut or a long leggy guys, they have a real problem blocking. And some of these spread formation tight ends now are put in the slot, and so they're not used to that in-line blocking, but I tell you, Eifert is used to it, and he's getting better and better. So he's our top tight end, and we think he'd look very good at that green and gold.
Moving over to the defensive side of the football, we're talking to Dan Shanka of Our Lads here this morning. And Dan, we had your colleague on the show last week, Chris Stuber. And we talked to him. He had some interesting observations on North Carolina State defensive back David Amerson, how he could be perhaps a safety in the NFL after playing cornerback in college, how he should be perhaps a late first-round draft choice. I think Chris would admit he's maybe higher on David Amerson than most, but I would like to get your thoughts on him as well.
Well, I know that Chris has liked Amerson since last summer, because I touched base with Chris. I said, hey, he and I might be the only two guys that really liked Amerson real early last year. And because of all these juniors that came out and things, he kind of slid down a little bit. But I think ultimately he'll probably be a safety. But hey, he's a big man at 6'1", 205 pounds, runs really well at the combine. He ran a 4.43. And I think that, you know, if he's going to stay a corner, he's probably going to be a press corner, because he's a big, he's a physical guy, and, but he is built like a safety. So, a little bit of, tightness in his hips when he turns, I think that will be a little bit of a problem if he's going to be out there, say he plays off man or what have you. But, if he plays a press man or he plays safety, he's in really good shape. He got beat by some speed receivers early, in their two games against, Clemson and, Tennessee. And then ironically enough, those receivers that beat him are probably going to be first round draft choices, like Patterson and Hunter from Tennessee, and then, Hopkins from Clemson. So he got a good dose of some pretty good players early, but, he came on and, ended up playing pretty well. So, we think he's really going to contribute on the next level. Needs a little bit of the film time, but he's definitely going to be the eventual starter.
One last guy I want to pick your brain on here, Dan, is Georgia outside linebacker Jarvis Jones. Recently, there was an article published in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, so, you know, just gained a little of attention around here on their online platform, JS Online. But, you know, there's these injury situations, I think what they call it, stenosis in his neck, kind of this concern about Jarvis Jones. Kind of wonder if maybe he drops in the NFL draft and the Packers could possibly be staring at a situation where he's still on the board when they're up to pick. But tell me about Jarvis Jones. What does he offer? And is his injury situation a concern?
I don't think there's any question about it. I think it's a major concern. And that stenosis, spinal stenosis, is a narrowing of the spine. And now, there's different degrees of it, and, you know, I don't have a shingle hanging outside my door saying MD, but I do know that there's been guys that have had that before that were drafted in the first round and never played, okay? And so I'm sure that one particular case is an offensive tackle that played college at Houston, went to Miami in the first round, did not play. So depending on the degrees of that stenosis, the doctors will, believe me, they'll go with a fine-tooth comb. But he was ultra-productive at Georgia. It's really hard to believe that there's a major disconnect from his workout stuff to what he did on the field, because, you know, you're talking about a guy that had 85 tackles and 14 sacks, 25 tackles for loss. And he'd fit in perfect in that 3-4 outside as a right outside linebacker, and they can move him over, flop him opposite Matthews, and they'd have a pair to draw to, so to speak. But it's a concern. I mean, the injury situation, and he has not worked out well. I mean, he ran 4.96, which is pedestrian, to say the least. I mean, a guy that's a big time pass rusher in the NFL, they got to be running even the 4.65 area, and they got to show good explosion off the edge. And there's a lot of red flags on Jarvis Jones, and I think the Packers could be looking at him, to be honest with you, at 26, because we've got him actually falling to the Ravens at 32. But some teams probably have him off the board, you know, because that's spinal stenosis. The doctors at Southern Cal, when he was there, they recommended he drop football. And then, of course, he went on to Georgia. They okayed him down there, and he had an outstanding career. So there's a lot of question marks. And, hey, if you roll the dice and he plays, it's one for you. But if you roll the dice and take a guy in the first round and he doesn't play, that's a wasted pick.
Well, Dan, we appreciate your insight this morning, coming here on Cheesehead TV and talking to us about these NFL draft prospects. You're a wealth of knowledge. We appreciate you taking the time, and enjoy the NFL draft, and we'd love to have you again on the show sometime.
Oh, that'd be fine. Anytime I get a chance to talk to Packer fans, that's tremendous. And I thank you very much for asking me to be a part of your show.
All right. Take care. Dan Shonk of OurLads.com and the Our Lads Scouting Services. Joining us here on Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV on a Monday morning. Thanks to him to joining us, and thanks to you, the listener, the viewer, for joining us here this morning at Cheesehead TV, where we're going to continue our discussion of the NFL draft. I encourage you to go to OurLads.com and order their draft guide. And then on top of that, if you have not done so already, I encourage you to go to CheeseheadTV.com. Well, you're already there. But to click the little shop button at the top of the page and order our NFL draft guide. We're now 10 days away. We're less than 2 weeks away from the start of the NFL draft. Time is running out for you to get your preparation in and done. So we've got it's been released since the end of March. People have been ordering it already, but go do it. It's over 100 advertising free pages. Over 100 advertising free pages. Where else are you going to find that? With Cheesehead TV, we're a digital download, so you download our guide, you read it on your iPad, you read it on your laptop, your PC, your desktop, whatever you have, and you can take it. It's mobile wherever you go, and we really think it's a deal for $6.99. It was actually, could have got for $5.99 if you pre-ordered, but still think it's a great deal. Go ahead and do that. And you know, I wanted to just continue the discussion where we were here with Dan Shonka. I thought the very last player we talked about is definitely an interesting one, with Georgia outside linebacker Jarvis Jones, because of the reason that I think he could be still on the board when the Packers pick, because teams may be scared off by this injury situation, this stenosis in the neck. The narrowing of the spinal cord, I think it is, that is definitely a dangerous, touchy subject. It's something that, you know, could be career threatening if he were to get hit in the wrong way. That being said, and as Mr. Shonka pointed out, that he was enrolled at USC, University of Southern California, and they advised him to end his career, and they I don't know if they took his scholarship away, but he ends up, he still wants to play and gets cleared at the University of Georgia and goes on to have a good final two seasons there in 2011 and 2012. You know, arguably the best senior pass rusher in the nation this past year, Jarvis Jones. And, you watch him and you think, wow, this guy can be a threat off the edge. He can be a guy who gets after the quarterback. On one hand, I think it's going to be a real difficult situation for the Packers because he's so good. But, you know, on the other hand, for one, there's the injury scare that you may or may not want to take on. And on top of that, you know, the Packers spent a first round draft choice last year on an outside linebacker in Nick Perry. I've said this many times. I think even if Jarvis Jones is available, even if you love Jarvis Jones or any other outside linebacker for that matter, I think the Packers just simply have to take a pass in the first round, and because they got, you know, took Nick Perry last year. He's expected to be the starting outside linebacker. You know, I know he's got injury concerns of his own that he has to overcome. He spent last season on injured reserve after about, what, week six or so. So, there's concerns about Jarvis Jones, about Nick Perry here. But I don't think you can. I just think it's a waste because, just for example, let's just play hypothetical situation here. The Packers go in and they take Jarvis Jones. Well, you've already got Clay Matthews at one outside linebacker position, and you know Clay Matthews is not coming off the field unless the game is out of hand, you know, one way or the other, or he's injured, and you know, hopefully Clay Matthews is not injured. So he's not coming off the field hardly ever. Well, okay, then you've got Nick Perry and Jarvis Jones. They're going to be splitting time at the other outside linebacker position. One of them's going to be on the field, and the other one's going to be sitting on the bench. Unless they move positions or the Packers somehow go to their bat defensive package scheme more often. I mean, that's something the Packers defense does, where they get an extra linebacker on the field. They did it with Desmond Moses this past year. But, you know, that was nothing more than like a situational package that they really didn't roll out all that terribly often. So that's why I think the Packers just have to pass on an outside linebacker. It just doesn't make sense to me to bring a guy into the fold, even if he's good, because he might just be standing on the sideline and he's no good to you there. You know, that's why I think, to me, safety is the biggest need on the team. It's the one position on the Packers defense that is so openly, blatantly obvious that, you know, a guy could step in and be the starter right away. Don't get me wrong. There is needs everywhere on the Packers roster. Almost every position, I think you could find a need somewhere. But I think, you know, after Charles Woodson was released, there's the opportunity for a safety to step in day one and start. And yeah, you can make your arguments that Jerron McMillan could be the starter, that MD Jennings could be the starter. Sure, I mean, if the Packers decide to go in a different direction, those guys are going to be the front runners to start opposite Morgan Burnett. But I mean, you know, to me, if Jarvis Jones is sitting there and, say, LSU's Eric Reed is sitting there, well, I would go for Eric Reed, you know, because, you know, I first of all, I think Eric Reed can be really good. But, you know, he could step in from day one. They could insert him as the starter at day one at safety opposite Morgan Burnett, and he could be really good, whereas Jarvis Jones might just be sitting on the sideline while Nick Perry's out there. Or vice versa. I mean, Jarvis Jones could be out there and then Nick Perry's on the sideline. That just doesn't seem right to me. Doesn't make sense to me. So that's what I would do. Now, certainly a situation could present itself where maybe the Packer, if Jarvis Jones is available, again, hypothetical situation, the number 26 pick comes up, the Packers are on the clock, Jarvis Jones is available. Well, maybe another team out there really wants him, is willing to trade up to get him, to grab him. I don't know. You know, is that kind of risky to trade up for a guy with an injury history? That there may or may not be that market there, but let's just say a team really likes him. Well, maybe the Packers trade down. And you know, I've said it several times on the show. I wouldn't be opposed to the Packers trading down in this year's NFL draft in the first round. Get an extra second round pick, an extra pick somewhere else along the line. I think that's fine. You know, you end up with several day two draft choices. I think they could really improve the team that way. Again, as with all trades, it takes two to tango. It's not just simply the Packers' choice to trade down. They have to find a partner and find a partner that's each side is willing to give something up to gain something. But yeah. Let's see here. Eric Young Smith on our live blog comments, it seems that he might be tradable, but at pick 26, it may be a good idea for the Pack to give up a first round for more picks later. Possibly. And by the way, folks, please join the conversation on our live blog in the comments section. Now that we have the new live stream, we're using that here for Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. You do have to sign up for a live stream account, but it is Facebook integrated. It's really simple and easy to do so if you've not done it already. And you just comment away, and it doesn't post to your Facebook page or anything like that. So, you can go ahead and do that, and I think it's a real good way to join our conversation here. But so we've talked about Jarvis Jones quite a bit. I did want to touch on one other subject here, NFL draft related, that Dan Shonka brought up in his interview, that, you know, I didn't agree with, but that's not saying I'm right, he's wrong. They've got Washington cornerback Desmond Trufant going to the Packers in the first round. And I can definitely see why they would do that if you're simply looking at the draft through a best player available lens, through that perspective. Maybe he is the best player available at number 26. I like Desmond Trufant. He's got the bloodlines. He's got brothers who have played in the NFL, are playing in the NFL. You know, that's fine and dandy. I like Desmond Trufant. In fact, I like Boise State's Jamar Taylor as well, both those cornerbacks. It's just another situation where I think cornerback is arguably the deepest position on the Packers roster. They've got four starting caliber cornerbacks in Tremont Williams, in Sam Shields, in Casey Hayward, in Devon House. And you know they're going to bring in at least some undrafted types afterwards, so it's not like they're not going to add depth to the position. But so I think you just try to maybe find a diamond in the rough that route. Again, another situation where a rookie comes in, he may not be better than any of the four players the Packers have on their roster already. And again, I think you try to look for a guy who's going to have some impact in the first round and could simply not even see the field at cornerback just because simply the Packers are so deep. Now, don't get me wrong here again either. Desmond Trufant could very well end up being the best cornerback on the Packers roster as well. You can make that argument, but I still think they're good at cornerback this year. By all means, in round seven, you want to take a chance on a guy, and in undrafted free agency, you want to go out and sign somebody and see if you can hit on somebody. Go do it that way. I think the Packers have to avoid going after cornerback in round one, even if you think these guys are really good. Same as Jarvis Jones at outside linebacker. Even if you think Jarvis Jones is going to be really good, I don't see the benefit of adding him. I see the benefit, but it might be negligible or canceled out by a guy like Nick Perry. Whereas with Desmond Trufant, it's canceled out by a guy like Casey Hayward, et cetera, et cetera. So I do think there's positions the Packers simply have to avoid in this year's draft. Outside linebacker, cornerback, quarterback, obviously. They're not going to give any competition to Aaron Rodgers. Even offensive tackle, I agree the Packers could use help on the offensive line. But man, when you've got Brian Bulaga, Marshall Newhouse, Derek Sherrod, Don Barclay, and Andrew Datko already on the roster, I don't know that it's in the team's best benefit to add an offensive tackle. If they do, you better think the guy is really, really good. I only think there's, three possible linemen the Packers would even consider, three possible tackles in round one the Packers would even consider, and that is number one, Menelik Watson out of Florida State, two, Teron Armstead of Arkansas Pine Bluff, and three, DJ Fluker of Alabama. because I think other guys are going to be gone off the board already. Obviously, those trio of tackles that are coming off in the first 10 picks of the NFL draft. And the rest of them I just don't see as being worthy of a first rounder. But even, again, I can't even see the Packers taking Watson, Armstead, or Fluker. It's tough to see that. I mean, they would have to be really sure that this guy's a starter from day one, and they can be really good football players. And I'd rather see him address a different position. I'd rather see the Packers take a safety. I really like three safeties in this year's draft. I think all three of them are first round worthy, and Kenny Vaccaro, Jonathan Cyprin, and Eric Reed. I think if any one of those guys are still on the board, I think you got a starter there from day one. I think you almost have to take one of those guys. And I'm not totally against addressing other positions. Tyler Eifert of Notre Dame, perhaps a defensive lineman. I'm not opposed to the Packers going in those directions, but I see safety as the most likely position where you just get an impact player from right away, the right off the board. He's your starter. Pencil him into the lineup right away. I think you can do that with those three guys that I just rattled off here. But it's now past 9 o'clock here on Railbird Central. I thank you everybody so much for tuning in this morning. We'll be back again on Wednesday, so make sure to join us then. We'll be doing more NFL draft talk. I'm working on lining up a guest. I'll give you a hint. I'm working up on lining up a player guest. A college NFL prospect, and nothing's official yet, but I'm pretty confident I can get this accomplished before Wednesday. So stay tuned for that. And so join us then. On behalf of Jamie Jores, I'm Brian Kirivu. Thanks for joining us this morning. Thanks to Dan Shonka of Our Lad Scouting Services for joining us on the show. And we'll be back on Wednesday. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Sirens by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.
Gonna be